That was quite a spectacle that happened in the Senate this week. It's the youngest versus the oldest having a shouting match. Now, quite apart from the issues involved, there is in our culture that recoils from the use of disrespectful language by the young against the aged. Courtesy is a must to those who have earned it by age. Yung nakita nating tanawin doon na yung pinakabata binubulyawan yung pinakamatandang senador ay napakapangit tingnan. Add to the age of Senate President Juan Ponce Enrile, who is now 88 years old, add the honor of his position as Senate President. I say whatever the issues involved, that display of discourtesy was outrageous. Now, maturity in the Christian is not measured by age, but experience does matter and has bearing on our maturity. But it also happens in Christian relations that the immature is often the one who harasses the mature. Nangyayari sa relasyong Kristiyano na kung sino pa yung kulang sa maturidad, eh siya yung nag-pressure, siya yung naglalapastangan sa mga may maturidad. And this certainly has been the experience of Paul in his dealing with the Corinthian church. There, he is being harassed by his enemies. And we are now in the concluding message of our exposition of 2 Corinthians 10-13 that models for us Christian maturity. Now remember, Paul spent this section of the letter rebuking the Corinthian church, particularly that part of the church which remained adamant as far as their rebellion against Paul is concerned. And they were being pushed by this party known, Paul calls the super apostles. These super apostles were claiming things for themselves in order to harass the apostle Paul. Now, against the super apostles, Paul's claim is he is the true apostle, authenticated by the true signs and wonders. And this is something which is the real challenge to maturity. We will often be encountering those clashes between the super and the true. And the mature must choose the true over the super. It may be a super emotion, super attraction, super majority. For the mature, the choice always is what is true, what is apostolic. And in our language, that means what is biblical, what is in the New Testament. And that is how Paul exhibits his maturity in the face of the pressure applied by the enemies in the Corinthian church. We find him continuing to hold fast to what is true. And now, after dealing with them patiently through his second visit, Apostle Paul now is warning them of a third visit. And this time, in the third visit, he is telling them, I am going to apply my apostolic authority. Kaya babala ito sa bahagi ng iglesia sa Corinto na hindi magsisisi kapag nangyari ang ikatlong pagdalaw ni Apostol Pablo, ay kanya nang gagamitin ang autoridad niya na bilang apostol, kasama na rito ang pagdidisiplina. At alam niyo, ang disiplina ng apostol ay pwede niyang gampanan, maaari niyang igawad ayon lamang sa autoridad ng Panginoon. Hindi kailangan pagbotohan kapag nagdisiplina ang isang apostol. Merong isang bahagi ng sulat ni Pablo kung saan ang sinabi niya, I delivered him to Satan, and that is a unitary act on his part which was not invoking any democratic votation, because that is apostolic authority. And that is what Paul is warning he will apply once he makes the third visit. But he is writing 2 Corinthians precisely so it will not have to happen. At dito makikita natin ang isang may maturidad handang harapin ang kasalanan upang ito ay iwasto. Hindi niya ito iniiwasan. Ngunit inihahanda niya ang iglesia sa Corinto upang ang kanyang ikatlong pagdalaw ay hindi kinakailangang mauwi sa pagbubuwag ng mga taong naroroon. Ang sinabi nga niya, His authority is for building up, not for destroying. So the mature continues to have an overarching desire to restore even erring brethren so that they may be right with God. Now, how do you think Paul sees all this? Is he losing hope of the Corinthians after all the disappointments he has had to go through? Is he losing hope of this church? Well, our last passage are the concluding words of 2 Corinthians 13, 12 to 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 12 to 14. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now, those words about greet one another with a holy kiss, the saints greet you, they are routine greetings by Paul in his letters. But then comes verse 14. This is extraordinary. This is the only place in the 13 letters of Paul he ends this way. Now, we're familiar with these words as the usual closing in a church service known as the benediction. Yung pagbabasbas ay ginagawa malimit ay pagsisitas nitong mga salita ni Apostol Pablo sa 2 Corinthians 13:14. But this cannot be considered a ritual invocation by Paul because, as I've said, this does not occur anywhere else. It occurs here only in 2 Corinthians. Therefore, we can conclude it must be deliberate and significant that this letter and this section should end with this invocation na nag-conclusion si Pablo sa ganitong pagbasbas, sa ganitong panawagan. Ipinapakita nito yung kanyang ultimong pag-asa para sa mga katulad ng Korinto. My message number 29 and the last in this series, the Trinitarian blessing is the ultimate invocation of the mature. Ang pagpapala ng Trinidad na Diyos, ang lubos na panawagan ng may maturidad. Kung meron tayong maturidad, kung tayo lumalago bilang mananampalataya, ang lubos nating inaasahan, ang lubos nating pananawagan ay ang Trinidad ng Diyos. The Trinitarian blessing is the ultimate invocation of the mature. I am not using the word invocation in a ritualistic sense. I mean by it, calling upon, relying on. So to people who have been a disappointment to him and on the edge of receiving his apostolic discipline, if they do not repent and the third visit transpires, he is going to employ his apostolic authority. But to these people, Apostle Paul still looks to them, to God, with hope. He invokes that hope by way of this benediction. And this is an important lesson to us. People who have fallen, people who have opposed legitimate apostolic authority can yet be restored and can yet be mature. Ganun din ang mga mananampalataya. Maring nahulog at nagkaroon ng mga suliranin sa kanilang buhay espiritual, maaring sila'y naghimagsik sa autoridad ng Diyos. Ngunit maging sila man, kung loloobin ng Trinidad na Diyos, ay maaring mapanumbalik, magbalik loob, at sila man ay lumago bilang mga mananampalataya. And our text neatly divides itself into three parts of the invocation. Let me just explain that it must not be thought that each that is attributed to a person is absent from the other two persons. Hindi ganun yun. Hindi ibig sabihin na si Jesus lang ang may biyaya o ang Espiritu lamang ang may pakikipisan. Ang tinutukoy rito ay yung pagdidiin sa kanilang gawain, sa kanilang katungkulan sa pagkatrinidad ng Diyos. So the three divisions are the grace of Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Spirit. That's not mysterious. It's there on the text. So when there is a Trinitarian invocation, it is an invocation first of the grace of Christ. Now when we formally invoke the Trinitarian formula, we would normally begin with the Father. The normal course is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that is the right, proper, normal way of looking at the triune God. When we baptize tonight in the will of God, we will invoke that formula in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, why did Paul begin with the Son? Well, the reason for putting this first is not that Christ is first of the persons, but rather grace is first of all. Kung iisipin natin ang anumang bagay sa buhay ng pananampalataya, yan man ay sa kaligtasan, yan man ay sa paglago, dapat nating umpisahan lagi sa biyaya. Hindi natin uumpisahan sa ibang bagay na mauuwi sa ating pag-aakala na aking pinapakinab, na ako'y dahil sa aking kapakinabangan o dahil sa aking merito ay nararanasan ko ang ganito. Tanggalin natin ang lahat ng mga bagay na yan. Maturity is based on the prior grace available in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yung paglago, ang maturidad ay nakatindig sa biyaya na nasa ating Panginoong Hesukristo. Ito ang dahilan kung bakit maging para sa mga taga-Korinto ay nandoon ang pag-asa ni Pablo sapagkat biyaya ito. Every step of growth in the Christian life begins with a conviction that there is grace in Christ. And if there is going to be growth, you must disabuse your mind of ever thinking you have to earn it. No, salvation is what Christ has earned for sinners by the way of His death and resurrection. At mulit-muling idinidiin ang mensahe niyan sa ating iglesia, huwag kang umasa sa iyong gawa, huwag kang umasa sa iyong koneksyon, huwag kang umasa na ikaw ay nakikisama sa mga mananampalataya. Ang kaligtasan ay sa personal mong pagtugon kay Hesukristo bilang Panginoon na tagapagligtas. Sumama ka mang paulit-ulit sa mga mananampalataya at sa iglesia. Kung hindi ka tutugon personal kay Hesukristo, walang kaligtasan. Ngunit ito ang magandang balita para sa bawat individual, anuman ang kanyang kalagayan, maaari siyang maligtas nang dahil sa biyaya ni Hesukristo. Salvation is by grace. This is the most fundamental confession of a Christian. But having said that, as salvation, so with maturation in the Christian life, that too is not earned by your merits. And it is easy to fall into the mistake that grace is something a sinner needs at the beginning, but from then on, it's up to him. Mali po iyon. Wag nating isipin, magsimula tayo sa biyaya, maligtas tayo sa biyaya, pero pagkatapos nun, trabaho mo na. Hindi ganun. Listen to the rebuke of Paul of another church, Galatians 3 verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? Ay, yung kanyang saway sa kanila. Nagsimula kayo sa Espiritu, ngayon ba ay mahusto kayo sa inyong sariling kakayahan, sa inyong sariling laman? Mali ang kanyang pag-iisip. Kaya kung tinatanggap natin ang kaligtasan ay sa biyaya ng Diyos para sa mga mananampalataya, mag-umpisa rin tayo sa katotohanan ang paglago, ang pagkakaroon at ang pagbunga sa maturidad ay sa biyaya rin ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo. Grace not only completes the issue of justification at the beginning, grace continues in sanctification. And the hope for any Christian growth, for spiritual maturity is based upon grace, and that grace is available in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, no Christian is hopeless in the challenge of Christian growth and spiritual maturity. Paul would not give up on the Corinthian church no matter the seriousness of their condition, no matter the fact that he has been disappointed by them. He would not give up on them. And so, I appeal to us, do not give up on a brother or sister who may have been a disappointment, for grace is available to everyone, to every true believer. It's always there. It will not be exhausted. One of the most remarkable spectacles in the animal world is migration. yung mga hayop, kung minsan milyon-milyon sila na tumatawid ng naglalakbay ng napakalayong distansya, at kung mga ibon yan sa kabila pa ng mundo. Now, it's a remarkable spectacle, but the real reason for that is seasonal shortage of supply. When there is a shortage of supply on one part, they look for it on another. For the Christian, he does not need to migrate from Christ, for his grace is inexhaustible. Maniwala ka rito, kapatid, na ang biyaya ng Panginoong Hesukristo ay hindi mauubos. And the challenge, therefore, is humbly seek grace for the growth in maturity that you need. Begin with grace. For Christian growth, it would be helpful to be reminded that Paul puts Christian growth or Christian sanctification, Christian maturity in two categories. Kailan natin masasabing tayo lumalago sa maturidad? 2 Timothy 2:21, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. Those are your keywords: holy and useful. Those are the two categories of Christian growth. Gusto mong malaman, magsuri, kung ikaw ay lumalago, una ay sa usapin ng kabanalan. Sa kabanalan, ito ay pagharap sa kasalanan upang ito ay daigin. Sa kabanalan, ito ay pamumunga sa mga biyayang karakter ng ating pagkatao. So, to grow in holiness has to do with mortifying sin, fruit-bearing in character graces, such as that character we addressed this morning in our message, joy. Joy when we worship. Do you have more joy? Are you growing in joy in your worship? That's to grow in holiness. To grow in usefulness has to do with our service and witness, being instrumental in our vocation. Now, the assurance of this invocation of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is that we can grow in both. Maaari tayong lumago sa panig ng kabanalan at sa panig ng pagiging kasangkapan. Suriin mo ang iyong sarili, kapatid, saan ang paglago na hinihingi sa iyo. Hindi ka maaring mamili. Hindi mo maaring sabihin, handa akong magpakasangkapan sa Diyos, pero yung kabanalan, masyadong mahirap yan. I give up on it. No, you can't do that. And what we are saying is that grace is available even for one who has stumbled into sin, even for one who has struggled all his life with his moral weakness. Even for him, grace is available. Invoke the grace of Christ in humble prayer. Then draw it from the same source, the cross of Christ. Their grace is available no matter how dismal your life may have been. There is grace in Christ. The most effective writer today on counseling with a reformed perspective, no doubt, is Dr. J. Adams. Well, he's now emeritus, almost in semi-retirement, but for decades now, his books have been a sure and steady guide for pastors like me. But did you know, from J. Adams' own account, he began with a dismal failure. As a young pastor, a church parishioner visited him to seek counsel. And J. Adams didn't know what to say. He had no idea how to deal with this person. 1 week later, that person took his own life. And that was a jolting awakening to J. Adams. From that time on, he studied scriptures, prayed to God for wisdom, and he became the master counselor that many of us young ministers looked up to him. But he began with that dismal failure. So ganun din tayo, huwag tayong sumuko dahil may naranasan tayong kabiguan, pagbagsak, pagkahulog, at pagkadupilas sa maraming mga bagay. There is the challenge of growth because it begins with grace. If it begins with your strength, it is a depressing venture. But it does not begin with your strength. It does not begin with your resolution. It begins with grace. So that's what Paul invokes first, the grace of Christ. Second, the love of God. Paul here touches on the very problem of the Corinthians, their lack of love. Their lack of love for Paul and their suspicion of Paul's love. Already, this problem was touched in the first letter to the Corinthians. And remember, it led to the writing of that most famous love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. But by the time that he had to write 2 Corinthians, the problem has compounded because of the super apostles. Lumala ang problema nung kanya nang isinusulat itong ikalawang sulat sa mga taga-Korinto. Hindi nagka-epekto yung 1 Corinthians 13 sa kanila. Lumala pa. Yet, we learn here that maturity is demonstrated in reflecting the love of God to His people, even in their most unlovely character. And that's what Paul is demonstrating here. How could he invoke the love of God for these people who have disappointed him, who have treated him miserably? Yet he is invoking the love of God, but that's maturity. Maturity demonstrates the reflection of the love of God for His people. The key word here is reflecting. You are not originating love from within your personality. Hindi ka nagpapaumpisa ng pag-ibig mula sa iyong personalidad. May mga tao tayong sinasabi na they are naturally affectionate, magiliw. And yung giliw na yon ay personalidad niya at malimit natin mapagkamalian na ito ay Kristiyanong pag-ibig. Hindi. Personality, affection is not to be mistaken for Christian love. Others are naturally detached and we may also mistake that they are incapable of Christian love, and that too is wrong. For it is not personality. It is not originated in your mere resolution to love. Love begins with God. He is our Father who loves us. Remember 1 John 4:10, not that we loved God, but that He loved us. And so we derive and reflect that love of which we are recipients. He is the Father who loves me. And when you say that to yourself, ask yourself, do you really believe that with a melting conviction? Kuminsan ay paniniwala na lang natin ang pag-ibig ng Diyos, ngunit walang malalim na dating sa atin. Isipin mo ang pag-ibig ng Diyos. Then from that conviction, demonstrate it to brethren by way of reflecting what you receive. We know that the moon is reflecting the light of the sun. It has no light of itself. And yet, because of that reflection, the moon has consistently served us by night. The reason is because it will never lack what to reflect from the source. The sun will have its inexhaustible source of light. Well, that is our God. Think of Him as Father. And that's the reason why love is particularly attributed to the Father, because the New Testament wants us to think of it as fatherly love. You are His child. How dare a father treat his child in this world? Well, we can ascertain a treatment of care, of the affection and love. Well, how much more God as our Father? The challenge for us to be mature is honestly determine your opportunities of love in the church, your challenges and opportunities of love in the church. Beware of the most common counterfeit of maturity. The most common counterfeit of maturity is sheer knowledge. Knowledge perhaps of scripture, knowledge of theology, Listen to the warning of Paul, 1 Corinthians 8:1. Concerning food offered to idols, we know that, quote, all of us possess knowledge. And Paul rebukes that this knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Mature love is sensitive. It seeks to serve. Now, you know for certain that our church and this pulpit is never anti-knowledge. Of course not. We gain knowledge. But don't mistake knowledge for maturity. There is that character in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress I often tell you about. His name is Talkative. You introduce any subject, he knows it from beginning to end. Until the issue becomes self-application. So determine what it is where you should apply and reflect love. Each will have his particular challenges and opportunities. Probably the need to be more sensitive, the need to share, the need to serve, but determine those opportunities. Edith Schaeffer, the wife of the famous Francis Schaeffer, saw an opportunity with the playmates of her children, and she formed the Children for Christ, which became quite an effective organization ministering to children. And it all began with that opportunity of love. Where is yours? And finally, the fellowship of the Spirit. Again, this is a key issue in the Corinthian church. Fellowship is broken between them and the apostle. The impending third visit may make that broken fellowship irreversible if there is no repentance. Yan ang pabanta rito na patid yung kanilang pakikipisan sa isa't isa, yung kanilang mabuting ugnayang Kristiyano, nasira ng dahilan sa kanilang paghihimagsik. At ngayon, ang babala ni Pablo sa ikatlukong pagdalaw ay handa akong gumamit ng aking autoridad bilang apostol. At kapag ginamit niya yon, ay tuluyan na ang pagkawasak, pagkapatid ng kanilang fellowship. At yun ang iniiwasan ni Apostol Pablo. So, he invokes the need for fellowship, but he notes that the real source of that fellowship between brethren is the Holy Spirit. From which, again, we learn that maturity is enriched by spiritual fellowship between brethren. You must understand that fellowship is spiritual. And when I use the word spiritual, I mean of the Holy Spirit. Karaniwan, pag sinabi nating spiritual, ang karaniwan nating iniisip na kasalungat ay physical, pangkatawan. Kaya yung spiritual natin ay yung espiritu na nasa loob ng tao. Hindi po yan ang spiritual ng New Testament. The spiritual of the New Testament is of the Holy Spirit. And that's how we are to understand fellowship. The fellowship between brethren is spiritual. It is not primarily external company that we conduct. We speak here of lunch fellowship, but we must not misunderstand that as though lunch is to have fellowship. We do not have lunch together to have fellowship. Rather, when we have spiritual fellowship, lunch together can be edifying between brethren. The fellowship did not come from the food. The fellowship comes from the Spirit. And when there is spiritual fellowship, even a simple lunch is a fellowship that can be edifying. That's what we need, you and I. You may lack the gifts that make others stand and speak, but then you can be of use in fellowship to encourage. You know, the UP team in the UAAP, which is ongoing, usually ends at the bottom or near the bottom in athletics. But yesterday, they just won for the third consecutive year the championship for cheering squad. Well, that tells us if you can be good in athletics, at least you can cheer, you can encourage, you can motivate. And that's something that has place in the fellowship of the people of God. Yes, we do need the athletes, but those athletes need the cheerers. And if you cannot cheer, at least don't jeer. The point here is there is to be fellowship in the church of God. And my challenge is actively endeavor to extend fellowship with brethren for edification. Source it in the Holy Spirit. Don't say, I don't have the tools or the externals. Again, this is the importance of sourcing fellowship in the Holy Spirit. There is no reason fellowship should be barren because we run out of externals. One reason for attributing fellowship to the Holy Spirit is because it is to be an active presence in the church. The Holy Spirit is the active presence in the church. And this is seen in the edifying fellowship of brethren. How active are you in endeavoring for fellowship? This is Paul's own word in another letter, endeavor. He says in Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Maintain that peace in the church. It is active. Stop asking, what has the fellowship of the church done for me? Rather, you ask, what more can I do? That's the mature way. And there may be disagreement, but where there is fellowship, there can be edification. I have not hidden the fact that I do not agree with John Stott on some serious issues of theology, but I look up to him as a man of wisdom, a man of fellowship, edifying. And that's what it should be in the church. So there is the hope for maturity even for such as the Corinthians. Why? Not because Paul finally has found the most persuasive argument, not because some circumstances there are going to happen so that they will become mature for the Apostle Paul. It's the Trinitarian blessing. When the Father, Son, Holy Spirit move, there will be blessing. And finally, therefore, Paul invokes that on this problematic church in Corinth. But do you wonder, how did the third visit turn out? We have no idea. We have no record what happened to the third visit. Did the third visit result in what Paul feared, applying his apostolic authority, putting out the super apostles? Or was there repentance and therefore restoration of fellowship? Again, we have no idea. But it is my belief that on such open-ended issues in the scriptures, there is a reason. And the reason is the challenge for us to finish it in our lives. Just like the elder brother in the prodigal son parable, what happened to him? After the father's appeal, story ended. You have to finish it. Now, what if you were a member of the Corinthian church? How would the third visit have concluded? Well, that depends on whether you will seek maturity. And even to the most fallen of believers, there is available grace in Christ. There is the love of God to reflect. And there is the fellowship of the Spirit to edify one another. The most serious mistake we can make of the concept of maturity is that you ask for it, and then the next day or next week, you find yourself growing in spiritual stature. It doesn't work that way. John Newton had his own personal experience of that when he prayed for much grace, and instead, he saw his sinfulness. He saw his weakness. The Lord made him feel the gravity of his condition. And yet, that was the very door for him to grow mature. And John Newton put that in a hymn that we will now sing. I ask the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of his salvation know and seek more earnestly his face. Verse 4, instead of this, he made me feel the hidden evils of my heart. and let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part. He queries in verse 6, Lord, why is this I trembling cried? Wilt thou pursue thy worm to death? 'Tis in this way the Lord replied, I answer prayer for grace and faith. These inward trials I employ from self and pride to set thee free and break thy schemes of earthly joy that thou mayst find thy all in me. There's the key, finding it all in Christ. We are such naturally proud people that even in matters of spirit, we find it in ourselves. And the Lord makes us go through these humbling episodes so that we may find our maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos at Ama, salamat sa mga natutunan namin sa mga pagtuturo ni Apostol Pablo sa bahaging ito ng ikalawang Korinto. At dito'y nakita namin ang maraming mga hinagpis na kanyang dinanas ng dahil sa kasalanan at paghihimagsik ng mga taga-Korinto. Ngunit hindi niya isinuko ang mga kapatiran ng iglesia sa halip ay nakita namin ang huwaran ng maturidad kay Apostol Pablo. At sa ganitong pagwawakas niya sa sulat na ito ay binigyan niya ng halimbawa ang bawat isa sa amin kung ano ang aming lubos na aasahan at tatawagan sa ganitong mga kalagayan. At ito'y walang iba kundi ang pagpapala ng Trinidad na Diyos. Ikaw lamang ang tanging makapagpapabalik loob sa mga nagkasala, at ang kailangan namin ay ang maturidad na umasa sa aming Diyos lamang. Help us, Lord, to understand that the ultimate invocation of the mature is not human resolution, not a human tool or method, not a program. Our ultimate invocation is the Almighty Triune God. And help us, Lord, to have that wisdom Apostle Paul displays in beginning with grace. Every issue of sanctification and maturity must begin with the same issue with which we began in salvation, that it is by grace. It is not something that we earn. It is not something that we decide to do. It is not something that is based on the strength of our resolution. It is by that same grace that saved us from our lost condition. And that same grace is the only way we can persevere in sanctification and in maturity. So we invoke the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is available for each one, for every issue of Christian growth, both holiness and usefulness. That grace is available. May we not give up on anyone who we believe is a true believer. May we not give up on ourselves if we are true believers, that we may venture by your grace to seek to grow and to mature. And the mature reflects the love of God to the brethren, even in their most unlovely and in the most unloving circumstances. There is the love of God which is inexhaustible, and we are here to reflect it. It is not a matter of personality. It is not a matter of formula. It is from the Father who loves us, and from that fatherly love which is inexhaustible. Surely there are opportunities and challenges in the church where we can reflect the same. Help us to be mature in doing so. And the church is to be characterized as a spiritual fellowship. Fellowship is not from a program that we can conduct, such as lunch or other activities. Fellowship is from the Holy Spirit. And when there is edifying fellowship from the Holy Spirit that transpires between brethren, then we can have edifying lunch and edifying activities together. So grant, Lord, that we may truly have that spiritual fellowship growing in this church. And let the challenge of Paul in this section of the Corinthian letter become a challenge to us. We do not know how the third visit ended, but the challenge is now ours, how we would respond to the appeal of the Apostle Paul. And it is our prayer that each member of this church will seek to grow in maturity, seek to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And for this, we invoke the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.